Okay, well, hi everyone. Thanks for coming to this surprise talk, which I just finished preparing. I have some pretty fantastic news and to share with you, so I can promise that you won't be disappointed. Most of you, you know me for the work I've been doing in free software around PTV and the foundation, but not many people know what I do on a daily basis. Mostly what I do is I do business and management consulting. I have that company called Idemark in Montreal. I do a lot of marketing and business development and a bit of interaction design and various creative work. So in a sense, I'm this weird animal that can do mostly anything and everything. Which means that the business owners love me and HR kind of hates me because I don't really fit in a box. But generally speaking, typically business owners call me when marketing and customer experience looks like this. I've been doing that for a couple of years, and usually my clients have nothing to do with free software, free and open source software at all. It happens, but I mean, it's the pleasant exception. So when I do get an interesting client whose business is based around free software and free software, I get pretty excited about it. In the last few weeks, I was fortunate enough to be contacted by such a client, and they are called Purism. And I was like, what are Purism? Anyway, and I thought, well, when I figured out who they were, I thought what they do is very relevant to GNOME, and that it would interest you folks. And actually, they're one of the most interesting companies I've come across. And yet, I never heard of them before, which is exactly why they hired me to help them with the marketing, because it kind of sucks. To give you an idea of how unusual they are, they use GPG encryption all over the place when exchanging emails. You don't see that very often. So what do they actually do? Well, they make personal computers in the forms of laptops and tablets and more to come. And those actually run GNOME, like a real GNOME, pure GNOME. So did anybody hear about them before today? Because I asked a couple people, like there's one guy, two, okay, three. And pretty much everybody I asked during the past 2 or 3 days, nobody had heard of them. I shit you not, this is the real deal. Like, this is a GNOME 3 tablet available for sale. So they currently have 4 models. They have a tablet, a convertible tablet, a 13-inch laptop, a 15-inch laptop. And as you can see, you can see the prices. Those things are not cheap for two reasons. First, because it's really hard to get economies of scale when you're just starting. With small orders, and secondly, because it's not cheap crap actually, and those are all, they are all premium quality hardware. They're all aluminum chassis. They have IPS displays. Actually, this model has a 4K display, so high DPI. 4K is actually going to become their standard offering. So. This stuff also has SSDs by default and USB 3, tons of RAM and all that stuff. So it's high quality hardware. And also when someone buys one of these devices, it's kind of an investment to help them make the case for free software, because that'll help them gain leverage in supply chain. And well, as they gain leverage, they gain the ability to bring the prices down and reach more people, but also to make the case for manufacturers, suppliers, that you kind of need to be able to make a chip that is free software compliant. And well, you know, eventually by doing that with proper marketing, you end up showing up on the radar of normal people, which is, you know, a really tremendous achievement for free software. So one thing I kind of want to make clear here is that what makes them special is that they are not integrators. They don't just take a bare-bone PC, test it and ship it. They actually source and build all the components, like they design their own motherboards. And they select all those components to be freedom, like FSF style respecting, and respecting of your security and privacy. So that's kind of interesting. A hardware manufacturer that wants to do this, well, I'm not sure if you can actually read this, but that's their freedom roadmap. They want to be the first hardware manufacturer to provide a complete personal computer that passes the RYF, that means respects your freedom, certification from the FSF, which is a pretty huge deal because nobody has ever done that before. Well, not with brand new hardware. That's an interesting goal. And they're also the first to provide features like kill switches, not just for the Wi-Fi, but also for the webcam and the microphone. So those are not software switches. When you switch off the webcam on those things, the power gets cut off. So that's a direct answer to the abuse we've seen with governments and spying agencies in the lights of Snowden's revelations. So this is very interesting because they not only do they run a free software platform, and it's all based on Debian and GNOME 3, they want to improve the whole security stack. And that's something that's fairly ambitious. But that's also something that's interesting to us because those who were there in Strasbourg in GUADEC 2014, we had this push to go for improving security and safety and privacy in GNOME. So I definitely feel that's something that we can work on. I don't know if Cosimo announced it yet, but we want to make a privacy-oriented Birds of a Feather session this week. Right. Yeah. So you should totally vote for Cosimo. I did. And personally, this makes me very excited because for the very first time in my life, I will have an alternative to the ThinkPad that I used to run GNU Linux and GNOME. And I've been waiting for years for a machine that is designed from bottom to top to be running the Linux kernel, and something that is made with high quality components and robust enough to withstand the crazy amount of abuse I give to those things whenever I'm on the go or when I just trip over the wires, because it happens often. Basically this summarizes my feelings about the current situation. I mean, I'm surely not the only one. How many of you had issues with your Wi-Fi or your graphics driver or where the power management just breaks from one release to another? And then you wait 4 to 6 months or more to wait for things to get back to normal. I've just had this issue years after years, and that's with ThinkPads, like the most well-known, well-supported hardware we have. So I'm kind of looking forward to having something that's really designed to run Linux and all the GNU stack and everything. Let's talk about 4K. and supply chain management. So One day, these people, like at Purism, they were told by their screen suppliers that, hey, we're moving to 4K now, so you could get Samsung 4K panels for your new 15-inch laptop. And they said, oh, that's great. Here's some money, and let's do this. So they jumped on the opportunity, they prepaid the panels, they started redesigning and preparing the 15-inch model to actually fit those panels. And they offered that to their initial set of customers, and the customers were like, yeah, 4K, I want that. So most of the orders were upgraded to 4K, and this was very exciting. There was much rejoicing until the 4K panels went on back order, and then on back order again, and then on back order again. And there was basically no alternative. So until LG entered the scene and then offered them their own 4K screen. So they said, like, yes, this is nice. So they modified their chassis and the chassis and everything to fit the new panel. And they had to fund the tooling and the assembly and all that, and they prepaid the new panels, but then they kind of had to wait for refunds on the old Samsung panels because, well, you don't have that much cash at the beginning. And when they finally got the new prototype approved, they started preparing for mass production. So they're currently going through that backlog, and they're hoping to ship everything in October. So this leads to another interesting problem then. What if you're an old fart like Christian Hergert or someone, and you don't want to run GNOME in high DPI? Well, then that's all right. You're covered, because then they still have some 2K panels, and they need to phase them out. So they're phasing out the 1080p screens and on the 15-inch model, and there's a promotion that they're announcing. Well, it hasn't been announced yet, but shouldn't take that long, where you can get the 1920 by 1080p 15-inch model with a huge discount, because they just want the thing to move. So you get like $340 off or something. So it actually costs, that's their high-end model, and it costs less than the model below it. So it's really like a clearance sale. It's a one-time thing. And there's like 50 of them in stock, so I suppose they will go fairly quickly. And if anybody is interested by that sort of thing, I asked them if we could get some sort of coupon for the WADEC attendees, and said, yeah, okay, we could have like a 5% discount or something, so I'll figure out something. But basically, yeah, I'm really, really excited, because we finally have a manufacturing that's taking a pure GNOME and shipping it onto laptops and tablets. And that's basically what we've been talking about for years. So yeah, that was my kind of surprise talk. Any questions and insults? And
yeah, you may have said this already, but what distribution do they use?
Debian.
So one common problem with some of the hardware shipping Linux has been that the drivers are not upstream. They're like very specific to that hardware. Is this the case here too, or are they all in the kernel?
So they have some kernel developers, and they are upstreaming as we speak. And or I don't know if the patches landed on that sort of thing, but it's going to propagate outside of their, you know, they have their own Debian-based OS with GNOME 3 called Pure OS, and that's where they, you know, do their downstream patches and everything, but they try to send everything upstream as soon as possible so you can run anything on that thing afterwards. Like, I know that in the beginning, the touchpad didn't work, which is kind of a bummer on the laptop, you know?
Since they're a small manufacturer, what's the thing about on alternate keyboard layouts? Because you need to have a different kind of cut for the aluminum. Do they provide this?
So there's a difference between the base keyboard layout and the keycaps. I think there's mostly like two main layouts, the US and UK, and they provide the ability to choose one. I think at the moment it still costs something to choose a layout that is not US. And I'm not entirely sure, but I think it's going to be like same sort of pricing eventually. I mean, this personally interests me because I'm a French-Canadian Dvorak typist. It's a keyboard layout that only exists on GNU Linux. So, yeah.
Question. So, two questions. Where are they based?
The factory, the assembly line is in San Francisco, the south of San Francisco. But most of the people on the team are distributed all around the world, including some one French Canadian crazy guy in Montreal.
Right. And have you to hear about any like numbers? How many they have sold so far?
I would say like ballpark scenario about. They've sold for $1 million or so. So that's if you average the prices, you could guess it's about 1,000 orders, and they keep trickling in. Like, I think I've seen like 7K go by in the past few days.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, so if you're in touch with them, make sure they show up at WADEC next time.
I mean, I didn't know about them until 2 weeks ago.
There you go.
And I told them, hey, by the way, I'm going to WADEC.
If they're a small shop, I'm less concerned about trying to get them to sponsor or anything, but at least having them on the conference next year will be awesome.
Yeah, I think also many of them currently are at DEF CON, which kind of makes sense given that it's a laptop that is also very much catering to people who are a little bit paranoid. So, yeah.
I just want to mention, if anyone's thinking of investing in the hardware, they did get a review from the Linux Action Show some months ago that was not entirely positive, so it would be good to check that out before making any $1,000 decisions.
They did point out. They also did point out that the initial models that were shipping out had, you know, the Windows key. Well, it had no logo at all, and they were like, "Well, this is ridiculous. Why don't you put your logo on it or something like that?" They were the Linux Action Show folks. I think they made two reviews in different episodes of the 13-inch and 15-inch model, and they were like, "This is really exciting. There are some issues, and you should be aware of them." But they were like jumping up and down in excitement. But yeah. Oh. There was also a review, I think, a couple of days ago on the new Screensavers show with Leo Laporte. You can find that on YouTube and on the show's website.
First, I would say this is great news, I think, excitement news. Also, I understand that this is, I assume, very Intel, around centered on Intel-based architecture. Would there be any plans, or would there be any possibility to have a ARM running on ARM device?
Well, the tablets currently run on an ARM architecture because that's kind of the kind of a standard, and they are fanless. But the laptops are all Intel based. There is the question then, if you want to go deep into your paranoia about the Intel ME chip thing, the management oversight big brother thing, which currently, I mean, it's not a problem in the sense that this chip requires three parts to work. It requires the chip itself, and it requires an Intel network card, and then it requires an internet connection and maybe some other thing, you only get one part of the triple play, so to speak. But that's something, well, they made a petition, that sort of thing. They want to be able to negotiate with Intel to not have that sort of chip. Because, you know, it's the kind of technology that Intel developed because it actually makes sense in a business, you know, business fleet of laptops scenario where you want to manage your whole fleet. But the idea, their idea is to actually prove that there's a market for this and gain leverage and be able to negotiate with the chip makers and all that to not have those things. And they're also, you know, they want the thing to run without a traditional bias. They want the whole thing to be free. So, I mean, that's fairly ambitious, but also very exciting.
Any more questions?
There currently is a crowd supply campaign for an EOMA 68 laptop, which is really, really low spec. An ARM laptop, but it's like a Raspberry Pi, more free and in a laptop case. So the tablets you are talking about, they are fast, I presume, like more high end.
Yeah, the laptop, the tablets are more powerful than that, and the laptops are ridiculously powerful. You know, we're talking i7 and 32 gigs of RAM or something, not 2 gigabytes of RAM. So you could have Firefox and GIMP open at the same time, you know?
Any last questions? I don't think so. Well, thank you very much, Jay.
Okay, cool.